Accession number 27057, Reel 1.
This is the first reel of a taped interview with William Osborne in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 15th of the 4th, 2004, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. William? Bill? Tell us your full name and where and when you were born, please.
My full name is William Thomas Charles Osborne, and I was born in Kent, England, and on the 21st of January 1920.
How did you come to be in Australia?
My parents, we came here in 1923 as migrants.
So what would your earliest memories be, do you think, as a child?
The first thing that I can remember is, I always say this is my introduction into Australia. This is all I can remember. The first thing was waving a handkerchief out of the train window in Albany, where we had docked. We were on the ship called the Themistocles. I don't remember this sort of thing, nothing like that. And my second reminder is, it goes after we left, apparently we were in the migrant centre in Fremantle in 1923-24, and the government then had put on a scheme of what they call the group settlement scheme, and we were on group 75. But before that, the railway finished at Busselton, and we went from Busselton to Carradale on the back of a truck, and from Carradale to the name of the place, I'll say it right now, is Warner Glen, but up to a couple of years there, it didn't have a name, and it was only named after the foreman of the group, in Group 75. And we were in a camp, look like a commune or whatever you like to call it in those days, in huts of Hessian, as made, and some of the walls, and I think the roof was corrugated iron. I think it must have been, that's what it was. Our beds were 4 foot sticks driven into the ground with a runner on the two of the sticks, and that was those runners were threaded through Hessian, and that was our beds. When you got out of bed in the morning, particularly the children with bare feet could, and that sort of thing, our legs up to the knees used to be black with fleas, sand fleas. And we could, I can't remember much more of that until we went out to the block that was allocated, allotted to us for my father and mother, and it was Group 75.
What was it like growing up in the country?
period.
What was it like to grow up in such conditions?
Well, I don't think it was much more than growing up in the city. We, as children, we used to play in the sand, black sand and all that. And it was that thing. I went to school when I was five because they had to get sufficient number of children before the government would build a school, a one-room school. And so I went when I was five to that school.
What was it like?
Well, a one-room hall, if you like to call it that way, and the teacher was a one-teacher school, and he used to have from six standard down to babies, and that, I mean, it was, I think, when we look at it now, it was tough. But we never worried about it. The kids, we played. And then I started work with my father when I was just over five. He was fencing.
What were your jobs?
Hanging on the end of a crosscut saw. And when he was falling the tree, sometimes used to put a forked stick in the ground and put the handle of the crosscut saw in that. And so I used to do them instead of the crosscut saw. When he had fallen the tree, or fell, which I don't know what the word is there, when he had fallen the tree, he then measured it out for posts, and then he sawed it with a crosscut saw again. I used to hang on to the end of it occasionally just to make it easier for him, I think it was. And then he, with a maul and wedges, he'd split that length of jarrah. It was all jarrah then. And he split into right up into fence posts. I then dig the holes, and then I'd hold the fence posts or whichever way it wanted to be pushed so it was dead in line with the others.
I'm interested, living in the country in Australia, how you saw yourselves. Australian? British?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. That's something I don't know. I do know that now I call myself an Australian. And I think I'm more Australian than a lot of the Australians are. I mean, I'm proud of it.
At the time, how did people view England generally?
Well, see, there were a lot of English on the group. So there was no animosity or anything like that. I know my father got into real trouble once because an Italian came up to him and started wonging away in Italian. And because my father was very, very dark, and he had black hair, and he was dark. I know he got into trouble because he was going to clock this Italian fellow, because he reckons he was an Italian. But anyway, that's beside the point. Well, on the farm, it was a farm. We didn't have, when we first started, we didn't have any cows or anything. We had a horse. His name was Baldy. And he would do all the work that was necessary to do it. And those times, the government kept on supplying the farmers with implements to run a farm and timber and corrugated iron and that sort of, to build sheds and the cow bales and all that sort of thing. And that was really, it was my childhood. When I was 13, I suckerbacks and slashed 10 acres to get my fare to Perth. My fare to Perth was 10 shillings or roughly $1. I did that. And
why did you want to come to Perth?
Because the government changed hands. This is probably a little bit away from what...
That's all right.
The government changed hands, you know, or changed which one. I don't know which one it was. I've not any idea who it was. But the government of Sir James Mitchell, that's right, his idea was to bring settlers out here to make farms, dairy farms, and get the whole southwest going. And they then paid the men so much a week. And then, that's right, they paid them so much a week. And they were gradually supplying them with cattle. And the thing was, I believe, I'm not over certain about this, that had 14 head of cattle milking or producing. That's what I know. You didn't, you could have 20 head, but you had to have 14 producing. And then you went on your own. That was the scheme. But the government changed hands and said, every cocky's on his own. Cocky, we call ourselves cockies. And that's what we were.
Did you see yourself wanting to be a farmer, given the chance?
Well, I didn't know any more than up to the time I was 13 and I was working on the place with my old man. It didn't mean anything to me, and it didn't mean anything to me that perhaps one day I might take over the farm, which was probably the thing I was doing, but the government coming in and changing it, and the only people really that stayed on Group 75 were two people. One was an ex-policeman from London. He had a pension, and another mate in the name of Northam. I don't know what he had. He had a means anyway, over and above.
You were talking, obviously, of coming up to Perth at the age of 13. So we're talking the mid-30s, I would assume.
Yeah, 1933.
How had the Depression hit you in the country?
I think it hit us the same as it did everybody else. I can remember my mother keeping house on 10 shillings for a month. And that was because, well, let's...
I get the impression that people in the farm, or in the country at least, had food if they really needed it.
Well, yes, because, well, I mean, we could, which I found it, boil wheat and treacle. Yeah, and that
you go out and kill a sheep, or...
Well, there weren't any sheep down there then. Not, and kangaroo, that was used to be the... at one stage, that was their main meat, like kangaroo.
Not a bad sort of meat.
No, it was all right, as far as I know. We used to enjoy...
Gourmet food these days.
Yeah.
In relation to the situation, the depression... In relation to the rest of the world, did you have a knowledge of how the rest of the world had coped with the Depression, for instance?
No, I didn't know anything about that, because being in a one-teacher school, there was never anything about politics taught. I am not the faintest idea of politics.
What had been your knowledge of things like the First World War, though?
I knew my father would he got wounded 5 times. He went right through the 14 and 18. He's got the Mons Star, and I forget what it is. He got a fair amount of...
Maybe you should mention his name.
Thomas Osborne.
So you've got the Monstar. What else had happened to him?
Well, he was on a farm in Buckinghamshire, and he, I think, ran away and joined the army, the Oxen Bucks, and he went right through the 14 and 18. And then, of course, he married my mother. I don't know. There's something that I can never understand what happened there, but anyway, he married Mum, and she had, when we came to Australia, she had 3 children under 4, and I was the eldest, and two brothers.
Did he ever talk to you much about his time during the war?
No.
Did you ever ask him things?
Really, I cannot tell you that. But I know he never ever spoke about it.
What had his wounds included?
Well, he had bullet wounds through the arms, and I don't know why. You could see them. Bloody big hole there, and another one there, and there was a couple up there, and I think one wound must have been in the leg, because he had a very bad leg all the time. But so we never asked him, and he never volunteered the information.
Had you heard, for instance, how the Germans had possibly done it tough as a result of the Versailles treaties of the First World War, and then being hit by the Depression?
No, I never heard anything about it. See, you must remember that school-wise, we didn't have anything at all about it. We did geography and history and all that sort of thing. But there was no such mention about, if I can remember rightly, about the First World War. I can't remember anything about it.
People talk of things like Gallipoli and Anzac Day.
They might have taught it, see, but then Gallipoli is the Turks. It's not the not the Germans, it's the Turks. Hmm.
When was it that you first heard of people like Hitler?
Well, we came to Perth in 1933, January 1933, I think it was. And naturally, we bought newspapers then. But up till then, we hadn't had newspapers unless we got some that were old. And my mother's or my father's, I don't know, one of them, used to send out the News of the World, because the News of the World had music in it, and there was always a fresh song every week. That's right. So I never even looked at a newspaper until I was 14, I don't think. Newspapers meant nothing to me. I didn't know.
Did you hear anything of the troubles brewing in Germany? Obviously, made Chancellor in 1932. Mm. 1934, claimed succession to Hindenburg, officially assumed the title of Führer. Had you heard of things like that?
No.
What about the 1936 Olympic Games?
Yes, heard a bit about it, and that was the Negro busting it, and Hitler not being... That was something that was broadcast in heads of state and all that, and all talking about it, and that sort of thing. And that's the only thing that I can remember.
The sort of policies that he had towards race, do you recall anything like that? I mean, obviously, one of the reasons that Jesse Owens had been so unpopular with Hitler was because of his policies on race. Had you heard anything to do with that at all?
To my knowledge, no. No, absolutely. No idea at all. I can't quite remember it, but I'm pretty certain we didn't have any. Any idea of what was going on. I think this was it because of school. Up till I was 13, I was in the Bush school, and from 13 to 14 I went to junior tech, but I didn't go until after Easter, and that was hell on earth for me, because they say children are cruel. I don't think you've any idea of what I had to put up with, because I was late in going to junior tech, and I just used to travel on the railway from West Perth to Subiaco, West Ruby, and they, these four kids.
You had a pretty rough time over there.
Hell of a time.
Did you ever consider taking a career in the army at all?
No, I entered an examination to go into the Navy as a midshipman.
Where did that interest come from?
Just the fact that I entered the competition. Well, the competition. I passed my junior and was.
Why did you think of making a life in the Navy on the sea? Where did that interest come
from? It was just something that no interest anywhere else except that I was going for this examination, if you like, with the hope that I could get something concrete, something that would save me all the time. And to tell you the truth, I passed, but I wasn't accepted.
Why not?
My father was on the dole. Because if I'd entered as a midshipman, I'd enter as an officer. And my father was on the dole.
Why did that make a difference?
Well, we couldn't talk about our old man or mother or anything like that. That was the only way I put it. I also entered an exam to go to high school, and I passed, and I couldn't go to, had to go to Bunbury, and I couldn't go because our parents couldn't support me. So that was it.
When was it that you recall the sort of rumblings of another war in the air?
Not too certain, because I had a good job. I was getting over the basic wage.
What was the job you were doing at this time?
I was a grease boy in a big motor engineering place.
Now, how old would you have been then?
17, I think, 16. When I was 16, I was driving a truck up the northwest, carting cattle.
So it was coming to the end of 1938, thereabouts. You were hearing about the war?
Oh, yes.
So the First World War had been the war to end all wars, and 20 years on, we've got another one.
Yep.
With the same people.
Yes.
Well, how did that feel for a young bloke, hearing that?
I don't really remember. I mean, what sort of it was on. I was in the militia, which is the same as the territorials and that sort of thing. And
what did the militia involve?
I was in the army, at fortnight's camp each year, and nightly, weekly visits. I think it was weekly visits down to Karakata. I joined the changeover in the means of transport when the artillery got rid of the horses and they got trucks.
Did you enjoy the militia?
Oh, yes.
Why was it an enjoyable thing to be involved with for a young boy?
Well, I was teaching blokes, that all the blokes, so-called drivers, that you're in the militia, you're in the battery, and you're either a driver or a gunner or something like that. And I went in as a driver, and because I drove a semi-trailer, a cart and cattle, I picked straight away to teach other people to drive.
Had you become involved in the artillery?
I went to see if I could get in the Air Force, and they said no, because I didn't have my leaving, I think it was. I said, oh, well, I'll go down to Karakata, and I went down to Karakata, and it was the artillery. I thought, that was good. I don't want to walk. I went as a driver, and I finished up that way. And I went because they were changing over from horse to mechanical. That was it.
So this was your decision to join the artillery after the declaration of war?
Oh, no.
Or this was before?
Oh, well before this was. We were in camp when war was declared, I think.